Welcome to Bookish Podcast with Kath and Al, a podcast about books-ish. A quick disclaimer before we start, there may be some spoilers, so please save the episode for later if you don't want any. And also, please follow us on social at We Are Bookish Pod. We hope you enjoy.
Hello.
Bonjour, ça va?
Oui, ça va, et toi?
Bien. Merci. You know what I should have done? I should have done that in Spanish because I've been doing Duolingo and can we talk about, I've not done Duolingo for a good, I had a break, right? So I've not done it for a good 9 to 12 months. Because, you know, Duo with his notifications was just getting a little bit much.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know how they make it so that you become competitive with yourself? So not even just the people that you're in a league with, but yourself. And I hate being competitive with myself because I don't like to lose. So it was just getting a bit much when I was like, I'm not hitting certain barriers, I'm not making certain things. It was getting too much. So I had to put myself in check, and I didn't do Duolingo because it didn't become about the learning. It became about being competitive with myself and then about the learning. But I went on there the other day and they really upgraded the types of things and resources that you can do to learn. Good.
I feel like it needed a bit of an upgrade.
Yeah, because it was very basic before. It was good. It was fine. But now they have these like listening and comprehension exercises, and then you can listen, and then they get you to repeat the sentences, and they take you, you know how they have the podcast? So they've got all the podcast bits, and I was listening to one about this book that had gone missing in, what's that gun? You know, before, I'm not going to say it. So, you know how I was talking about magical realism before in one of the other episodes because of a certain movie that I won't reference by name?
She's on a ban, an Encanto ban. I'm allowed to say it. I'm not on an Encanto ban. Although I did have a discussion about whether Moana or Encanto was better. And I think Encanto was better.
Yeah, I need to watch Moana again, actually. I digress. Anyway, I say that to say they've got a listening exercise where you listen and then you say it back as if you're in the conversation with them. So it's like greetings, and you'd be like, oh, you'd say hello, how are you? And then you would ask, how are you up? Like, obviously really basic stuff. But it was quite good. Like, they've really upgraded the opportunities and the amount and the levels of learning you can do on Duolingo. So if you're looking to learn a language, guys.
That sounds great. And I would, you know, maybe start again, but I don't have a phone. So, well, actually, that's not true. I have an iPhone 5. I had an iPhone 11, guys. By the way, if anyone works at Apple that listens to this, I have a complaint to make. I am not a happy bunny. My iPhone, okay. Bear in mind, I never used to buy the latest phone because I was like, oh, no, like, and I ain't got the dollar for that, right? And then last time I got a new phone, I was like, no, I'm going to go for the latest one because it will last me longer because I keep having to replace them every 2 years, right? I've had this phone for 2 years and 2 months, and it's just out of its warranty. And on Sunday night, I put it onto charge like normal. I was just scrolling on TikTok before I went to bed, put it onto charge. No, nothing changed in my routine. And then in the morning, my alarm went off on my watch and not my phone. And I was like, that's so weird. And then I was like, oh, maybe it didn't charge overnight. Literally nothing. Couldn't turn it on. Like, nothing worked. Googled it all. Couldn't do it. I was like, what the hell? Took it to the Apple store. And the guy was just like, it's broken. And I was like, what do you mean it's broken? How could it just break? Like, I didn't drop it. Like, it's got no water damage. I was like, what the hell?
No,
so he was like,
right.
Oh, it'll be £400 for a replacement device. And I was like, what the fuck do you mean it will be £400? He was like, would you like to pay now? Or no, what did he say? Something like, would you like to pay by credit card or cash? And I was like, who the hell has £400 cash? And sorry, I don't have £400 full stop to spend on this. So I was like getting a bit wobbly at this point. And I then left the Apple store and called Ellie and cried. And then went home to my parents, as in like home, picked up an iPhone 5. And now I'm here walking around London with an iPhone 5. Do you know what you can do with that? Absolutely nothing. Can't put Apple Pay on it. I can't sync my watch to it. I can't do anything.
But you know what? What's terrible about it is, like, just because you're Apple now and you're distinguished and you're established and whatnot, once upon a time ago, when I was 17, so yeah, we're talking a good 13, 14 years ago, I got this iPod mini. It was green, the lime green, right? I got it for my 16th birthday. I got it from a guy who I was absolutely in love with at the time. His brother used to work at Currys. Currys is an electrical appliance store in the UK. And I got accidental water damage. So I went to the Apple store and I was like, I don't know what to do. Can you help me fix it? And the guy's like, I'm so sorry. If it's accidental damage, there's nothing I can do. And I literally was like, but no, but why? And he looked at me and he took pity on me and he swapped it because... they believe in good customer service, yeah. Right? They want you to walk away with the most positive experience. And he was just like, cash or card to you is unacceptable. Especially with everything with your iCloud.
And to be fair, like, I was literally about to cry, so I just walked out the shop. And I do have insurance, so I've basically paid the excess on my insurance, which is £100, which is actually illegal. It's not illegal.
Yeah, it's expensive. Is that inflation?
Huh?
Is that inflation? £100?
No, it's just £100.
Oh, I paid that with mine, with OT. I was like, that's far too much money.
Yeah, but like, so I paid for it, but I had to send, I rang them and I was like, okay, they were like, your claim's been approved. And I was like, good news. So I rang them and I was like, hey, like, what do I need to do? And they're like, you need to send your phone to us. And I was like, yeah, but I literally have a statement from the Apple store being like, it's fucked. Excuse my language, I'm just very upset. And she was like, it doesn't matter, you have to send the phone to us. So it's literally not even at the insurance place yet. So God knows how long it's going to take for me to get a new one.
What, are they not? Are they doing a swap for you then?
Yeah, they're going to give me a new one, but they were like, we need to check it. Like, we can't just give you a new one. Like, our engineers need to check that we can't fix it first.
Wow.
Which they won't be able to, if Apple can't fix it. Like, Apple's fix was a replacement device. So I don't know... But I think it's just the process that they go through.
So. Well, I've never done it with O2, because that's where my phone's covered with them. They've always sent someone to do a swap, or they've always sent somebody out to me.
No, I had to go to the absolute arse end of nowhere to hand it in at some petrol station. It's a good job I went home, because I had to print all this stuff out, go to that. I literally thought I was going to get murdered at some... I literally, like, a petrol station on the side of the road with, like, no village nearby... Like, I don't know why there's a DPD place there, but there is.
Because it's a village and you need at least one DPD place in your village.
Yeah, like the closest... honestly, it was very...
Actually, though, that's the thing. DPD places are always in the most random of places. Yeah. They're never
You could have done Royal Mail, but Royal Mail would have taken longer. So I was like, I'm not queuing up at the post office. Like, and I was at home, so I was like... Mom, you take me to a petrol station. And I was like, Mom, can I use your printer? And I was thinking to myself, how would I survive this situation without my mom? I've been an adult for way too long to have to have relied on my mom's printer for this situation. Oh, funny. But yeah, so I don't have a phone. And do you know what the worst thing about my phone breaking? And guys, I really want some sympathy here, because it's not the fact that I'm having to use an iPhone 5 where I can't get any... I can't go onto Bookish Instagram. I can't go onto Anchor. I can't do anything, guys. I literally am cut off from the world. And I know I'm being really dramatic, but the amount of things that you use your phone for these days... I can't do my yoga because I can't get Apple Fitness. Also, can I just say I'm a loyal Apple customer? I have an Apple Watch and an iPhone. Like, I'm Apple to my core. But anyway.
These are quite millennial problems.
Yeah. I'm
a problem.
Yeah. I'm obviously being very dramatic and very annoying. I realise that this is the most privileged rant I've ever been on in my entire life. So I am checking my privilege, guys. Don't you worry.
This is so funny.
Yeah,
it's true, though. Like, actually, we've become so reliant on our devices. It's not healthy.
No, actually, to be fair, yeah, it has given me a little bit of a wake-up call that, like, I really shouldn't have that much on my phone. Like, I should be able to do things without my phone. Anyway, like, Audible, can't even get Audible. I'm halfway through a good audiobook. But the worst thing is that I've lost my Wordle streak. Because, obviously, I won't get my device back. Like, I've lost it. I've lost my Wordle streak.
I did that the other day by clearing my cache, and I didn't even realise. I don't even think I cleared my cache. I just cleared some history, and it was like an hour of browsing. And then apparently it just cleared my Wordle. I was like, I didn't think I did a Wordle in that last hour, but goodbye. So that was sad. So I've started again.
Obsessed. Mm. We're obsessed. Mm-hmm. We are obsessed. If you haven't played Wordle, guys, you're literally missing out on the best thing that's ever happened to the internet.
I've got you and my housemate doing it, which is great.
Everyone I know is doing it, literally.
I like it because I don't know if you've ever watched it. There's a program in the UK called Lingo, which is basically Wordle, but they give you the first letter and you do 4-letter words and 5-letter words, and then you might do a 6-letter word. But they always give you the first letter, which is easier and sometimes harder. It's harder with a 4-letter word because there's limitless 4-letter words. It could be like the other day when it was light. Do you remember when light was, you know, the day that was trending, was it game 226 or something like that, and the word was light. I'm talking about Wordle now, sorry guys. And everyone was just like, I've tried this, these were all my guesses, and they couldn't get it, because IGHT literally could be, it could be fight, it could be right, it could be tight. I got it very easy. I was lucky, though.
For that one, I had the L. That one, I was on my last guess, and I was like, Dad. Because I was at home, because, you know, phone gate. And, guys, can I just say, like, I literally went home because my phone broke. to fetch a replacement phone, can I just say? Like, that was the goal. And I was like, Dad, I just don't know what letter could go here. I had, like, L-I blank HT. And I was like, my brain just couldn't figure out what the bloody hell it was meant to be. And my dad was like, G. And I was like,
This is how I got it. My first guess was world. My second guess was might. Amazing.
Amazing.
So I was like, my third guess was light. That was so lucky. I was so lucky that world was my first guess. Because I might have ended up not doing it.
Do you guess the same first word every day? Or do you have different ones?
No, I do different ones.
My favourite one to guess first is reach. R-E-A-C-H. R-E-A-C-H. Because you get the E and the A and the C and the H, you know? Because they're quite like...
I like doing like bears or tears. Because you get the T and the E. Yeah. But sometimes I'm like, oh, let's just shake it up a little bit. Like...
if you do something a bit rogue and it pays off, then you can get it really quickly. Today, I saw a tweet, someone got it in one. Like, their guess was the word. Like,
it's just a guess.
I literally feel like I was a superior being if that happened to me.
Like, sometimes I'll see, like, you know, when it's trending, what the great thing we love about Wordle is that no one spoils it. Well, very rarely does anyone spoil the game. But people will just report, like, what they've been doing, or, like, obviously the guesses and their counts and stuff. And if I see enough people like not get any letters in the first row before I've played, then I'm like, okay, they've probably gone for something like bears or taste or something like that. And so I'm thinking that A and E and all those letters are probably not in it, kind of thing.
Yeah,
I don't know, there's so much strategy to this game. It's fantastic.
It's so good. I love that no one gives it away. Like, my friend texted me the other day and he was like, does everyone get the same word? And I was like, yes.
isn't it insane? Like, you've just got to be in the zeitgeist. Like, just...
So good.
Everyone gets the same word and it's just...
It's the first thing I do when I wake up. Well, not anymore. Not on my iPhone 5. I'm not sure it'll cope.
Me and my housemate had... I had the last three letters. I had the first three letters and she had the last two letters. We were sat there playing it literally at midnight. She got the last two letters. I got the first three letters. And we sat there and we didn't exchange. We were like, no, we're going to do this until We're going to do it and we're not going to help each other. That's it. It was so silly. So between us, we had the word, but we just wouldn't correspond. We wouldn't corroborate. So we're going to get this ourselves.
I remember only I got one that was like,
for like a hint.
I got one of the ones that was really hard.
Yeah,
something like that. And I was like feeling pretty smug or something. And my friend replied like, oh my God, you're a genius. just a linguist, babe. Just a linguist. Nah, being a linguist does not help me. Like, sometimes my brain just can't work it out.
It's funny, isn't it? Like, yeah, sometimes your brain just isn't in it. Sometimes it is. And I'm looking at river and everything now. Everything I look, is that a five-letter word? Well, like, am I going to
river
try
would be
next
a good
time
one,
I use
it?
River, yeah.
Books.
Spade. What else? Speak. Yeah.
Spade would be a good
everything
one.
Everything that
I'm going to put spade as my first word tomorrow.
See where you go. That's a decent first guess.
Yeah. So, context, spade. We're going to be talking about Ace of Spades today. But you already know that because there's the title. Why do we do that as if it's like some sort of secret? Like, oh, guess what, guys? It's like in the episode title that someone's chosen to listen to. We're like, and here's the big reveal. This is the book we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, it's not like we talk about multiple other books, really. No.
I just realised that it's really stupid that we do that, but fine.
If you couldn't guess by the title of this episode.
Yeah. But yeah, so Ace of Spades, which is a YA novel that was out last year, June 2021. I think it was like the best-selling YA novel of 2021 or something like crazy like that. We loved it, didn't we?
I can see why. It was like, yeah, it was great. It was so easy to read, and I just wanted to I wanted to read it. And like, obviously it's YA, so it's not necessarily like, I think it's pretty obvious plot wise, but like,
yeah.
Also, it's just fantastic. It does everything a YA novel should do.
Yeah. Dom was making me dinner and I was like, I can't. I was like, do you need help? And he was like, no, it's okay. You can sit there and talk to me. And I was like, can I read my book? And then like we went upstairs like afterwards and I was like, we went to watch the thing and I was like, no, like I just need to finish this book, like I've literally got like 10 pages left. And he just looked at me, he's like, are you serious? And I was like, yes, I'm serious, like I need to know what's gonna happen.
I read it over 24, so basically we read it for like our book club at work, and or me being me, leaving things to the last minute, I literally had like 48 hours to read it. That's where we were at that time. So I started it on the Sunday, and I inhaled 100 pages at the gym. And then, that sounds weird, but anyone who will know me will understand what I mean by that. And then I got home and I was like, if for me to be able to do this, I'm going to have to do Audible. So I knew that I'd read 100 pages in literally a few hours. So I knew that listening to about 3 hours would be around 100 pages kind of thing. I inhaled it over 24 hours. It was so easy to read. And I didn't even pick up the rest of the audiobook. I didn't need to because it was just so quick. My housemate was like, I need to chat. And I was like,
no.
What?
Soz. We both did that. She's like, no, it's one of those, I haven't read a book like that in ages that I was like, no one speak to me because I want to know what happens in this book. So that was nice. It was nice to read a book like that. And I was like, nope, I'm in a bubble, leave me alone.
It's been a while since we've read a book like that. When was the last time you'd read a book like that?
I don't know. Because I haven't read many good thrillers recently. I did, and like normally it's like with a thriller that does that. I did read like a fairly decent thriller over the holidays, but it was Christmas, so I don't know if it would have had me as gripped if I didn't have nothing to do for the afternoon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, as this, I literally had, like, I mean, I was meant to be hanging out with my boyfriend and I was like, leave me alone. No, obviously I wasn't rude to him. He understands that the book comes first, so so we bloody well should.
It was fantastic. And I, actually, guys, I would recommend listening to it on Audible as well, having done both. I actually read like a quarter of it. I mean, I listened to a quarter of it and I read the other three quarters, but it was a really nice Audible experience if you're going to audiobook it.
Nice. But yeah, well, that's good. I mean, one thing I will say is that you do have to be aware that it's YA when you're reading it. Because I feel like some of it, if you're not fully accepting the fact that you're reading a YA novel and it's going to be like a YA novel, it can be a bit like,
YA like has to slap you around the head with themes, so yeah, you've just got to bear with it. Like, it is going to be like slapping you with a wet fish, because it has to. There's a point to them doing that.
Yeah.
Also, like, obviously as well, and we'll get to some plot points, is, you know, when you watch Riverdale and you're like, why are these teenagers who are supposed to be teenagers acting like grown-ass adults doing grown-ass adult things? Is because it's YA and that's what happens. So just let it go.
The YA.
Yeah. Well, let it roll off your back. Embrace the YA.
Actually, I know another book that kept me reading like this. It was another YA novel. It was The Hate U Give.
Oh.
That's a really good book, actually. I feel like that... It's not a thriller. Not a thriller. Some, like, obviously some parallel themes, but like that kept me gripped. But I don't know if it's just because it's YA and you're like, well, this is so easy to read, I'm gonna keep going. But yeah, so Ace of Spades. Oh, bloody hell, falling off my chair. I'm not even had anything to drink. I'm just uncomfortable. So
I had a little tipple.
Welcome to Nevis Private Academy, where money paves the hallways and the students are never less than perfect, until now, because anonymous texter Aces is bringing two students' dark secrets to light. Dun dun dun! And then, in the front of the novel, it's got two quotes. One is, they say life is full of surprises, that our dreams really can come true, then again, so can our nightmares. And that's from Gossip Girl. And the second quote is, all I know is sometimes if there's way too many white folks, I get nervous. And that's from the film Get Out. And basically, the novel's meant to be like, Get Out meets Gossip Girl. And I think...
Definitely is.
Fairly accurate.
Definitely is. Definitely is that, for sure. It gives you the creeps out. Oh, Get Out is such a great movie. It definitely gives you the chills, the creeps.
When we did a screening of Get Out for Black History Month, and I went to it and I screamed really loudly at
Bond. You've seen it before, though. No, that wasn't the first time.
I've never seen it before. And I was at Mark and I screamed, and he just started laughing at me because he's seen it loads and he knew what was coming up. I can't even remember which bit it was. And I literally made me jump and I just screamed so loudly and he was just like laughing at me, like, for God's sake. Oh, yeah, so I'm glad I've seen Get Out before I read the book. Obviously, it's not the same story, but similar vibe. And so I'm glad I've seen the film as well to give me like that sort of context from the quote.
Yeah, it's a fairly good description of what the book is. So yeah, then when you know what's coming, because you have that description, you know what's coming. It's a good thing, yeah. It is a good thing you saw it.
Yeah.
Do you think, had you not seen it, you'd have appreciated it as much? Or
I don't know, actually. Good question, because I guess, like, I guess, because I've seen the film, I kind of knew what was going to happen. But in a way, like, I didn't feel like it mattered that you knew what was going to happen. You still wanted to know what was going to happen, even though you knew what would probably happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you knew that everyone was on it, essentially.
Go on.
I was gonna say, in that respect, it gave me like Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibes, because the whole town was in on it, kind of thing. So it's like, I was like, it's that and that and that. Like, everyone knew.
And Hot Fuzz, when that. They're all in on it.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone.
No, obviously.
Kind of creepy,
like,
though, isn't it? Really creepy.
Yeah, it's really good. Like, really, it does give me the creeps.
Yeah. because when you read it, so when Kath had obviously read it before me, and she was just like, it really did sort of scare me. And I was like, do I want to start this before bed?
I did say to you, be careful, didn't I? Like, make sure you're in an okay headspace before you start reading it.
I didn't read it before bed.
Thing is, though, what's so scary about it is it's like such a, like, because it's like a commentary on society. That's what's so fucking scary about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think that's the scariest element of it.
Yeah. I guess to explain it a bit more, we have these two students that go to, I feel like in the audiobook they call it Nevaeus, but I'm not sure if that's right.
Yeah, because I did hesitate.
I wasn't sure of it, because I said Nevaeus or something like that, but I think...
Nevaeus? In my head I read it as Nevaeus, but actually I don't think that's right at all. I don't know why I read it like that. Sometimes I do that with, like, places. They're in my head, they're innate. They're said a certain way, and I could never get out of it after that.
What is that sound with an E and a U?
I should know this, really.
I guess it's not one to... I'll listen to the audiobook and let you know what happens. Oh, yeah, I can't remember now.
For anyone can tell us.
I've heard it. Yeah. They go to this school. It's a private school. So that's the Gossip Girl part of it. And they're in their senior year. And it's like the first day of senior year, and they're calling up like who's going to be like the head prefect, mm-hmm. and then all the senior prefect, which I found really confusing because I think this is set in the States for sure, but they use very like English terminology when we come to speaking about having prefects and head girls.
Yeah, is that because it's a private school?
Yeah, but then does that happen in the States? Because I just didn't think, I thought that was not a thing. They have like valedictorian and stuff. I didn't know that. And they said headmaster, and I was like, oh, do they do that in private school?
Yeah.
There?
Yeah.
And they call it out as well, actually, at some point in the book, where they're like, oh, these are very English terms. And I was like, yeah, it is. But it's like their first day, and they call out like, all the people that are going to be in these positions for the rest of the year. And it's at that point, one of our like main protagonists, and because it's us, I've forgotten his name already.
Devon.
He sees this flash of the Ace of Spades on the car, on the projector, whatever it is that they're using. And no one reacts to it, but he finds this really odd. He's called as a prefect, and so is this other girl called Chiamaka. Mm-hmm. And they are like the only black kids in school, essentially. They go to this private school, the only black kids have been made like senior head prefects, and it follows them in their senior year, and all these really weird things keep happening. Basically, Aces sends these texts out to the student body, and it's like all really incriminating gossip. It's like gossip basically about these kids, but it's not, because it's actually like pictures with the pants down, not with their pants down, but it's them getting caught in the act of doing something.
Yeah.
And so then you
like
see
very Gossip Girl vibes in that sense, like,
yeah,
oh, like they get that, like, the whole school gets these text messages, and they're like, oh, who's it? And it's signed off by Aces, and they're like, who the bloody hell is Aces? And then like, yeah,
and everyone will get them, but if it's about you, you don't get the text.
Yeah.
So if it was about Chiamaka didn't get the text. If it was about Devon didn't get the text. Oh, it was Devon. That's his name. I'm sure it was Devon on the audiobook. Devon. So when it was about them,
is it Devon? Text.
Yeah, I think it's Devon.
See, what's wrong with me today?
No, it's okay. You wouldn't know. It's because of the audiobook.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess because like...
Because we would say Devon.
We would say Devon, yeah. But it's American.
Yeah. Which is really confusing because she's British.
That did confuse me, actually, because I was reading this article about her and I was like, oh. Which we'll get onto her in a sec because she is sick.
But, so it's really cool. And I guess as time goes on, you're just sort of piecing everything together. So there's this, like, really harrowing incident that happens with Chiamaka where she... essentially run over a girl. A bit like in that Get Out scene. Don't they run over a deer? Or something. What do they run over and get out?
Yeah, they hit a deer on the way to, to her parents' house.
That's like a more foretelling, foreshadowing element of that film. But they run over this girl in the book. And she's in the car with her best mate, who's called, I want to say Jacob, but it's not. It's definitely not Jacob.
No, he's Jamie.
Because in my head, I cast Jacob Elordi again. Here's me casting the bad boy. Always Jacob Elordi. It's because of Euphoria. I'm so sorry.
Also, I didn't. Yeah. Jamie didn't get his character. Not gonna lie. I didn't really like him. I mean, you're not meant to like him, obviously, but like from the get go, I was like, this guy's giving me weird vibes.
Yeah.
Weird vibes.
So yeah, so it haunts her because basically Jamie's like, it didn't happen, we're going to forget all about it. But basically it was part of the setup in taking two black kids down. It's really messed up. And they literally go through the whole schooling, brainwashing these kids. Like it's institutionalized racism, right? And then in their final year, they terrorize these two black students and they do it every 10 years and it's wild.
And, like, they go to this camp to, like, plan it. Oh, my God, it's so messed up.
Yeah, they go to the camp every year to plan it. And she knows, when Chiamaka talks about this camp, she talks about it as in, oh, it's only for, like, legacy students and stuff like that. So Jamie's a legacy student because his parents had gone through the school and stuff like that. And his dad is, like, a donor and it's, like, founded by one of his family or whatever it was that he was doing or however their family's involved. But they go to camp Niveus or Niveus or whatever it's called, and they get indoctrinated. And it's true, it's sad as well, because you know when you have the stuff with Devon, and he has that friend who's from the same area as him, and then he gets indoctrinated, Jack, and he gets sort of like, yeah, I think you're right, it is Jack.
That's really Jack sad, actually, if he's Jack. I can't remember. But that storyline with Dev and his friend, that really upset me, actually. Like, because I feel like you learn quite a lot about their relationship throughout the book, and then he just screws them over to be part of it all, and it's just... Yeah. I think it's just really sad.
Yeah, so basically they're sponsor kids. They go there on a sponsorship, basically. They earn the right to... Yeah, scholarship. Did I say sponsor? They go there on a scholarship. Jack same and Devon thing. Are there on a scholarship. Same thing.
Yeah, and they're from the same area and, like...
They're from the same town. They grew up together. They're, like... And so to see Jack have his head turn, really... Oh, my God. Sorry. Do you know why I'm creasing at saying
you've been watching Love Island? Turn.
Yeah. what Kath said, their relationships, to see like that fall apart, like Devon's like, you've been there, my mum has fed you, like we've gone through all of this stuff, I can't believe that you would think that I had it easier than you. That's not the case. We've both grown up with the same struggles. That's different because obviously race plays a massive factor. How could you believe what they're saying, kind of thing? And the guy is just like, well, I did, like, he's been indoctrinated. It's just really sad.
Yeah, and there's also like LGBT storylines, and like at first he thinks it's because he's gay that he is being like pushed out by Jack, which is like, he goes through such a roller coaster that he thinks it's because he's gay, and then he finds out it's because he's black, and it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep swearing. Wild. It's so bad.
Yeah,
no. What's wrong with me in this episode? But, yeah.
I think what she does really well, the author, is the Devon's from like a sort of poor background, and Chiamaka is from like a really wealthy background, and we explore where she's from. So her dad is Italian, her mother is black, her mother is, you know, described as being really dark skinned, and Chiamaka is then taken on her mother's features. So even within her own Italian family, like, they don't accept her and her mother because she's so dark, and they put that in quotation marks because that's just so ridiculous. Like, colorism is so infuriating, because I'm a dark-skinned woman, so like, yeah, it's infuriating. But then we see her sort of deal with being mixed, and her identity Yeah. Because she talks about flat ironing her hair. So, like, there's no kinks, like, not really embracing, I guess.
There's quite a lot about her hair, actually, isn't there? Which is, like...
Yeah.
Like, lot, yeah, throughout the story.
Absolutely. I think she does that really well.
Yeah, I thought that as well, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, well. Obviously, because it's YA, it's quite, like, at times, quite obvious what she's trying to do. But I think that was a more subtle part. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I do. I think she did that really well. And she does this, like, as well, like, seeing the class. Because Devon and his friend realise quite quickly that they think it's a race thing, whereas Chiamaka takes a little bit longer to get round to it, because obviously she's from a privileged background, they have money. So her sort of recognising... She works hard. She realises that she has to work harder maybe to have the same... to be seen in the same way as everyone else, but I don't think really that, while she's aware of it subconsciously, I don't think it really hits until it's like in front of her.
Yeah, and I guess her whole character is like the point that she's like the popular girl, so her fall is so from such a height, like everything that happens to her just knocks her so much, like in terms of like she starts off like the book by being like the most popular girl in school, and then like it's just, it's almost like she's like, I can't believe this is happening to me.
Yeah. So she's got a lot more to sort of like understand from that point of view. Whereas I think for Devon to get to that point wasn't such a like stretch. I think his biggest thing.
He was a bit
thing...
more like realistic about like his point in the school. But then I think it affects his home life a lot, like his life outside of school quite rapidly, so he's like, this is really affecting my life, not just like my popularity at school kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then it also affects really her life as well, but like it's more like she goes from being like popular to not, and then it starts affecting the other areas of her life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but basically the whole school's on in it. It's the whole school, so they have these relationships and these friendships with people, like we explore Chiamaka and Jamie, we explore Devon and the other guy, the rich one.
The rich guy.
He dated Chiamaka, and then he was seeing Devon.
Oh,
Devon.
Him.
Yeah, but then that was really weird.
That was a weird... I'm not sure about that. But yeah, the music teacher... That was
sad.
Such a flip. Like, that, to me, if this was a film, that would be the point where you're like, oh, God. Like, this is really going to, like, this is all coming to a head now, what's going to happen. Because that
like,
was
not
like...
him too.
Yeah, like, no, not the nice teacher, for God's sake.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Him and also, like, you know the headmaster, you know, when they were like, we've got a new headmaster this year, we don't know who this guy is. And obviously when you learn... Like, this guy has been around. I guess he probably comes in at that final year. In my head, I saw him as a mix between Snape, but, like, not with Alan Rickman Snape.
Snape.
And do you know the...
Sorry.
And you know in... what's that programme called on Netflix? The cartoon, the animation... The something... The Shame Wizard... It's really funny. It's on Netflix. Have you ever seen Big Mouth on Netflix?
Mm.
Okay, it's an animation. It's about these kids that go through puberty. And it's just like, it's a bit like Family Guy because it's like all X-rated and stuff like that. And it's just them coming to terms. They have these like hormone monsters that follow them around and that they are the reason that they're just being absolute fucking night little shits. So like the hormone monster, the depression kitty, the like anxious mosquito, and then they have the shame wizard. And in my head, I'll send you a picture later. I had this... The headmaster in this book reminded me of a mix of Snape and the Shame Wizard. That's how I saw him.
Oh, okay. I feel like, but only you.
It's literally how I saw him in my head.
That you have.
Literally, like, just like, ugh. Because he was described as being really like dark hair, dark robes, quite, I don't know, sort of scary looking.
Yeah. I feel like his character's really creepy from the start.
Yeah.
No, he's really, the character's so good. Like, the characterization's really, really good. And like, what did you think? There's so many characters for them all to be so well written. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like when we were talking about the Authenticity Project and there was loads of characters and we feel like we didn't get enough of some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked so with Devon's character, I liked the way that he was able to have these two romances and they mean such different things to him. The stuff with Dre and then also the stuff with the next guy who was also in on it. Terrence.
Yeah, he was actually, but not really.
He was in on it. I knew that. I was like, oh, he must be telling me stuff.
Yeah, it was really obvious that he was in on it. That's a really massive spoiler, by the way, guys, but it's quite obvious.
Spoilers at book club, because I suppose we'd have to talk about the end, right? Because they plan to talk about... Well, yeah, he was in on it. Right, one thing I'd love for you to explain, and I think we've had this conversation, but... So Dre is one of the guys, he's a drug dealer in Devon's area. He has a relationship with Devon, but obviously it's not public because he has a reputation to uphold and stuff like that. And I guess within their neighbourhood, being queer is like not a thing. And then, so with all the stuff that's happening with Devon or Devon and it coming out and it threatening his reputation, he sort of cuts ties with him. And then from there, the next thing we jump to is him being in prison, which... I was like, did I miss this? Well, like, when did that happen? When he got dropped in on it?
Well, I think he didn't see him for a while, and then, something happened. Like, he obviously got caught, and then Devon gets a text, and he's got like a special or a call. And it's obviously his phone call. And he has a special ringtone. And that's how he knows. Which also. Wouldn't be how it happened because he wouldn't be calling from his mobile phone, surely.
No.
But that's how that jumped. But yeah, it's a bit of a jump, that. That isn't jump in time, like, storyline. You're just like, wait, what?
Yeah, it happened so quickly. I wondered where I'd missed that detail, because I was like, how was he in prison? When did that happen?
That bit when he went to prison. Yeah, sorry.
Go on. Yeah, go on.
I was just saying, that bit when he went to prison, like, cut deep. I thought that was really hard to read.
The bit with his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I cried.
I wasn't expecting that.
I feel like it was just so emotional, that whole thing, because he's like, Dre's in prison, and then, like, he finds out about his dad, and his whole life's just falling. Like, literally his whole life is falling apart. The poor boy. Mm-hmm. I found that really
It was a good emotional beat, for sure, because we understand that before then his dad's not around. That he is in prison, was in prison. And then that detail where it's like he was wearing this coloured jumpsuit and that meant he was on death row. Oh, that was great.
That was it.
Honestly,
good.
Great. Not that he was on death row and he was in prison, obviously not. And we don't really get any...
The detail.
The detail. And we don't get any understanding as to what he did or why he was there.
Which I think is good, because I don't think you need to know. Like, I think it's like, and, like, he probably shouldn't have been on death row. Do you know what I mean? I think that's the implication, isn't it?
But yeah.
You don't know.
When he,
You can't judge because you don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. She did it so beautifully as well, because she tells that story through him visiting Dre. So it's like a sort of like a flashback.
It's like a circle. And,
Yeah. Great. And then... And then you come full circles to what that means and why that's such an emotional moment. And then with Chiamaka, you know, we talked about the LGBT stuff.
Yeah.
The Q, because then we get her sort of LGBTQ storyline with Belle.
Yeah. Also, can I just say what I liked about that is, like, they're teenagers and they would be, like, they would be exploring Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I think that's really cool that that's in the book, and it's not just like, oh, she had a sweetheart and he had a sweetheart. And it's like, do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
it's all like they're figuring it out and they're like, this is me and this is what I like and then this is what I'm figuring out kind of thing, which is really cool.
Yeah.
There's so much, was... there's so many themes and there's so many like parts to it, but it's not overcomplicated either, because the actual story is like very like, this is what's happening, quite linear is not the right word, like the story is quite like set on its path, so it's not a confusing story, so I think it can weave the other themes into it.
I think a lot of the good stuff that she does as well is in the things that aren't said, it's in the stuff in between. So, you know, when, yeah, she's talking to Jamie, and that, I don't know if it's in the bit in the big reveal about Jamie or I can't remember where, but you know, he was like, well, would I have slept with you if I didn't like black people, or something like that. And it, there's this bit, there's something that's unsaid in that moment, but I think all of the context is there. Yeah. And I was like, I know what this is. Like, you don't need to, you can sleep with whoever you want. It doesn't mean that you're not raised. Like, it's that's.
Yeah, I've got a like, little bit of a news flash for you, honey.
Like, do you know what I mean? It was just, I think she did a lot in, she said a lot in the things that wasn't actually physically said as well. So fantastic book.
Yeah, actually, on the back of the book it says, an incendiary... Am I pronouncing that right? What's wrong with my brain?
I don't know what word you were trying to say. Was it incendiary or insidious?
I'm just going to ignore it. An utterly compelling thriller with a shocking twist and that delves deep into the heart of institutionalised racism, which I think is a very apt description.
Emily made a fantastic point in our book club, and I can't remember what it was, because someone was saying...
Oh, she made a great point, I can't remember it, so...
No, because you know how... So someone on a book club, this is the whole YA thing, right? He was just like, I don't understand. It's why, like, because everything we were saying about YA, it's very obvious. And he was getting frustrated at that point. And then Emily was just like, that's the point, because it's institutional. And I can't remember what the point was. So
ignore me. I think I know what you mean. She said something like...
It was very good.
But the point is, it is obvious. Like, it's there. You just have to pay attention kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Like,
It all sort of comes to a head at the Snow White Ball. That's not what it's called. The Snow Something Ball.
Snowflake.
Snowflake.
I can't read and you can't remember anyone's name or any names of anything. So just because, guys, we're recording the evening.
Go well, guys.
Normally we're morning people, clearly. I mean, I don't know.
The great thing about the Nevaeus meant white, didn't it, in Latin or something like that?
Possibly.
Do you remember that? That was like a detail. The thing, that was a detail in the book. The thing was, all of the stuff was there. These people just hadn't researched it. You know?
Nevaeus means snow.
Snow, something like that. There we go.
I just Googled it.
But yeah, it all comes to a head at the Snowflake Ball. And
is it Devon... Snowflake? You're making me doubt myself. I think it is.
I think you're right. I said Snow White, but I knew that was wrong. I'll wholeheartedly say I was wrong. I'll admit when I'm wrong.
You admit that, baby girl.
It's a small thing to admit. I'll take it.
I'll admit when I'm wrong. It might be a snowflake. But yeah, carry on about the ball.
So they go to. So they make this arrangement with the local news station to out this school at the Snowflake Ball. Snowflake?
Let's go with Snowflake.
We'll go for Snowflake Ball. And coincidentally, Devon tweets on Twitter about this school, like hashtag Nevaeus school hates black people, whatever the hashtag was. And he gets like, he does it overnight and he wakes up, he's got like 24,000 retweets, something like that. And then he adds to the thread, like, we're going to go down there tonight. We're going to take down the school. They've got this whole plan to get this, like, news station in on it. And they do all this ducking and weaving to get onto the stage. And then when Chiamaka delivers her big speech, she realises that actually the news station is also in on it. So when we said it, the town is really all in on it. They're really all in on it. Like, mm-hmm. we discover like how deep it goes. Like, the school was like created by members of the Ku Klux Klan, that kind of thing. And then they've been living in plain sight for years. Literally years, centuries, because it's been hundreds of years, I guess, or decades, tens of years. And
hundreds, ten.
I think it's hundreds of years. Ten, it's definitely, is it? I don't know how, yeah. No, it was hundreds, wasn't it? Because it was like 1860 something. The score was like 1860 something, but the rituals were like 1960 something. And then that gave me sort of like Squid Game vibes, because that was like,
Squid Game.
Well, you know when it was like they kept a book and a record of all the black people they tortured and stuff like that.
That
and then
was
they had
creepy when they saw the photos and then they realised that the black students disappear.
Yeah, that gave me the Squid Game bit. You know how they had a record of everyone that they did.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. It's like they wanted them to find out at that point. Though I was like, guys.
yeah.
Maybe that was the point. Who knows?
I think that was the point. And they're just about to sort of, I guess, take them down. I don't know what they're going to do, because I was really worried that someone was going to die at this point. And these protesters come in, like the ones that reacted off the back of his tweet or the tweet thread, and essentially save their lives. And then we find that Jamie passes. It's just
a bit cold, didn't need that to happen. I don't really care. Like, I kind of, as in, like, for him to die. I don't really need that.
Do you feel like she needed a conversation with him to understand? I suppose we already got that, didn't we?
Kind of one of the plot things that happened. I was like, did he really need to die? Probably not. But I guess it's why it's like, dramatic. But the tweet thing was really cool. I liked that.
Yes.
Because when he sent that tweet, I was like, oh, what's happening here? And then, like, nothing seemed to happen with it. And then, yeah, that was cool. And also, that kind of stuff does happen. So I thought that was
cool. That was more realistic than her going to this. Like, when she went to the radio station, I was like, obviously they're in on it. And obviously this is not going to work.
Yeah, and actually at book club, it was too easy. That was just a bit ridiculous. Like,
yeah. It was too easy.
That was kids being like, oh, they're going to do things that aren't very realistic in shows, you know?
Yeah. Whereas, like, the tweet was a little bit more realistic.
But, yeah.
It was, I think we sort of hopped around a bit, but that's most of it. It's very good.
And just to note, like, when I was, like, reading about the author, Farida, her name is, in this article, Marie Claire article, it literally says she got a seven-figure book deal at the age of 21.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, for this book.
How old is she?
I think she's older than that now. I don't know. I don't know when she got the book deal.
Well, actually, it takes years to write a book, doesn't it? So
yeah, but I don't know if she might have... I don't know how long it took between her getting the deal and she might have... Let's see. Doesn't say... 1998 she was born. How old does that make her? 23?
Oh my gosh, she's 23.
Yeah, she's so young. Mental.
Very
and
good.
Seven-figure book deal as well.
Very, very good.
And well impressed.
Yeah, this was fantastic. It really was. That's a really strong debut.
She literally, really like, strong. When I read that, I was like, no way was she 21. Like, that is amazing. Like,
talented girl.
Yeah. I'm actually really, really jealous. Teach me your secrets. Another thing is that on the back of the book it lists the artist that did the cover, which I think is really
amazing.
Cool. And I think they should do that on most books, because I feel like book design, I find it really interesting, like how they come up with the concept and stuff. So
it's a good
extra
book.
Points.
And we looked at, because we were talking about why it was called Ace of Spades, or like what the meaning behind the title was. And Farida was like, I really love titles that have a double or even triple meaning, Ace of Spades has many meanings. One of the non-spoilery meanings behind the book title is the theme of playing a game, and the aces figure toying with their lives in the same way a dealer toys with the cards. There's also a lot of discussion about race and white supremacy in the book, and so Ace of Spades card literally being black and white is a subtle nod to those themes. And then we did a little bit of digging as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an NPR article that talks, I guess, deeper into, like, it's called, the article's like an opinion piece, Code Switch, Word Watch, and it's like around the saying, like the phrase to call a spade, which actually has a lot of racial overtones to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really interesting to read. And then for her, I guess the many different reasons that she has for calling it Ace of Spades to link them in that way. Because I guess in this NPR article, they're talking about how it was in from like the Greek and the Latin, it was like it was born out of calling a fig, to call a fig a fig. And then obviously, as words do, they grow and they develop and they mm-hmm. gain new connotations and meanings over time. And that during like the Harlem Renaissance in the US in the 20s, that became associating spade with black people, or calling black people that, and how that sort of progressed over time. So it was really interesting that this society that she created within this book was called the Ace of Spades, and it has been loaded with so much meaning.
Yeah.
Because it was the Ace of Spades society that was doing this to these black kids over tens of generations at this school.
Yeah, it had a lot. Like, it was very multifaceted. It's a good title.
Yeah. Like, literally everything had a double meaning, or several meanings. She was very good at that.
It's just a really good book. Like, I'm not surprised that it was, like, best-selling and stuff. And also, I'm just so excited that she was 21 and she had a 7-figure book deal. I'm literally...
What a talented girl.
Buzzed for her. I want to be her friend. Do you think she'll be friends with me?
Hey, girl.
She'll be like, no.
Thanks for reading my book.
You couldn't pronounce words in your podcast about me. Simple words, honestly, on the back of the cover of my book.
We couldn't remember their name. But,
degree.
But we do that with everyone. Genuinely, we forget names. It's very bad.
And apparently I can't read, so. There's not something with me to say. But we do always forget names. We
genuinely just forget
names. I did
names.
Quite we well this time. Be. I remember
it was me.
Yeah. I do have the book here, though.
As bad as well, because I listened to the audiobook, so I should have probably listened to it a little bit before just to remember what names were, but I'm sure it was like Nevaeh, Devon and Chiamaka. So
Nevaeh, yeah, that sounds better than Nevis. I don't know why I said that. It actually doesn't make sense wrong. For me to pronounce. That's definitely wrong, Nevis, definitely wrong. Anyway, if anyone knows how to pronounce it, let's know. Not that upset, cause it's a Latin word too. I did study a bit of Latin at school, though, obviously. Why not? I went to a Latin club after school. Who goes to a Latin club? Me.
You.
That's it.
You.
Yeah.
What are you reading at the moment?
Oh, my God. I'm reading Autumn by Ali Smith. In winter, but fine. Autumn's my favourite season. It's quite good, actually. It's very poetic. Huh?
Have you read any of her other ones, like Summer and Winter?
No. I wanted to read them in order of release, just in case.
Okay.
But apparently they're not connected. This was the first one. It's really interesting. I really like it. But
what's
also
it about?
I find it, like, some of it's a bit poetic and I was a bit tired and I had to reread some of it because I was like, wait, what?
What's it about?
It's like there's an old man and then, like, a girl in her 30s. And it's about both of them, basically. And like basically Brexit's just been voted in, so like the Brexit vote has just happened, so we're like at
it's
that
a Brexit
point.
Novel
yeah but like
I
it's
no
not
idea.
It's not super explicit, like it is explicitly about Brexit, but it's not like there's just like comments on it and stuff. It's really cool. It's really good, actually. I really like it. I'm enjoying it so far, but I haven't got long left and not that much has happened, so I'm a bit confused. But I don't think it's not. I don't think it's one of those books where loads happens, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to hear whatever book is next. I'm guessing it's winter that comes next.
Yeah, it must be.
To see like where it picks up or if they're really not.
Yeah, I don't know actually. I've got no idea whether they link or not. Like, I've just only ever heard good things about them. So
I was like, where is this going?
Yeah. Confused. But yeah, it's won loads of awards. Actually, I really want to read her novel called How to Be Both. Because that won the Costa Novel of the Year and it was shortlisted for the Booker Prize.
Oh, have they released the Costa stuff yet?
Yes. One of the authors that I didn't know won. Hold on, I'll tell you.
I feel like we should tell guys what we're going to be reading next, but I can't guarantee you in what order that's going to happen. So
so it was Hannah Lowe. One.
Don't know her.
So yeah, I didn't. The Kids by Hannah Lowe. One. But yeah. Yeah, what are you reading?
I have finally finished Will. I did that on my journey into training today. It was fantastic, hey? Five stars.
I saw that in a bookshop the other day and I thought of you. It's massive.
I'm actually going to buy it because I wouldn't mind looking at the pictures of it. As an audiobook, I thought it was really fantastic. And like there's... The way it ends is like, of course he would end it. Like I would end it like that. I wouldn't expect anything from like a movie star like to leave an ending the way he did. So I thought it was very good. Great insight into his life. I don't know that I necessarily agree with his approach to everything, but obviously it's worked for him. So that's great. And I find that he does speak like inspirationally, like he is a good motivational speaker. Yeah, but I can't say that everything would work for the normal person, but obviously it's worked for him, so that's what he'll take through life and pass down to his kids and stuff. Especially there's bits where he talks about grief towards the end, which I thought was quite powerful given like the story that we get with his family. So now I'm listening to the Dave Grohl Storyteller one, which I'm already enjoying so far. And I think I'm going to read physically. Well, obviously we've got to do Brokeback Mountain for book club, but I have Wahala ready to go. So
yeah, I want to read Wahala actually. But I basically, the reason I picked up Autumn and not Wahala is because I got the train back to my parents. So I didn't want to see hardback.
Fair. Yeah.
And my friend Caroline lent it to me the other day, so.
Yeah. That's the thing, like it's a hardback and I was like, I've been traveling a lot, so I didn't take it with me today. I finished my audiobooks, but I do actually want to physically read something. But yeah,
that's the problem. Every time I read a hardback, I have to have a paperback on the go to take with me places.
Yeah,
but yeah, exciting. I think we'll do an episode on Wahala if we like it. Maybe we'll do one even if we don't,
or
like
even if we don't. Yeah,
yeah.
I definitely think we were going to do one on Open Water.
I need to read that.
Yeah. And we definitely should do one on The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. So they'll probably be next, guys. We don't know what order, so don't hold us to it. And we do hear you. We know The Girl on the Train was something that was voted for, so we will do that eventually.
Yeah.
Anything else we need to put?
Autumn, if Ellie wants to read it.
Yeah, you got to let me know how you go.
Mm-hmm. I've had a few Brexit-related novels now, so, yeah. Oh, we've been talking for ages, so we better go. I'm going to go eat something.
But before we do go, guys, we've got a music and talk episode out on Spotify. Please go listen, because it's a nice compilation of music and chat. It's like listening to the radio.
Listen to the other one.
This is for our Spotify listeners. So if you are on Spotify, you have this because it's a Spotify exclusive thing. It's music and chat. So listen to the music and chat one if you're there, because it's the music that's has been carefully, is curated. It's been carefully chosen because it speaks to a lot of the stuff that we spoke about in the past year. It's the 365 days of Bookish episode. So all of the music has been picked for a specific reason. It's supposed to give you a great listening audio experience. So please go check it out. And if you're not on Spotify, there is another, there's a musicless version, sorry. But you can listen to the musicless version on other platforms. But if you're on Spotify, go listen to music and talk. It's like listening to the radio. It's fun. With that, I bid you adieu.
I'm going to go finish my book.
With that, we bid you adieu, which is a good word, good five-letter word.
Try and Wordle. That's such a good word for Wordle. Oh, my God. Oh. I'm going to use that tomorrow.
I used it today.
Yeah. Did you?
ADI. Right. No, did I use it today? I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Before we get into
bon
that.
Love, yeah. You, love you, bye. Bon nuit. Bye. Bye.
Bon nuit.
And that's the app. If you like the episode, please leave us a lovely review, subscribe and share with your friends, and we'll love you forever. Follow us on socials at We Are Bookish Pod. Thanks for listening.